That's good. Mother's Day. Isn't that great? Thank you, Miss Ellen, for what you did and what you do every year for our mothers. And I'm just grateful again for all that everybody does. Well, next Sunday morning, the last group that joined the church, I'll be calling you this week to remind you. Now, I better set that off because you guys are going to be gone next Sunday, aren't you, one of the families? So we'll do that. We'll do that Sunday week. We'll do that Sunday week. So let me do that. Yeah, since you guys are going to be, I just thought of that. So we'll do that later. All right, take your Bibles and turn. Ellen's already told you. Aaron's already told you. It's on the sign out at the road. So if you'd take your Bible and turn to our text this morning. Our text is out of Proverbs 31. You guys remember somebody that used to come to our church here. We call her a P31 woman for sure. Remember her, Kelly Welch. We called her a P31. And all of you ladies are as well. And I want to just today, I just want to honor our mothers. That's what this day is all about. So I want to, let me just do it. I won't tell you what I want to do. I'll just do it. How's that? So this morning, Irma Bombeck wrote a thing that I think is so fitting and wonderful for mom. So I want to start off with reading that this morning. When the good Lord was creating mothers, he was in his sixth day of overtime. Now many of you have heard this before because I've used it before right here. So, but it's been so long till most of you don't remember it. So I'll do it again. An angel appeared and said to him, "You're doing a lot of fiddling around with this one." The Lord said, "Have you read the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair. And 6 pairs of hands." The angel shook his head slowly and said, "6 pairs of hands? Why? No way you can do that." "It's not the 6 pairs of hands that cause me problems," said the Lord. "It's the 3 pairs of eyes that the mother has to have as well." "That's on the standard model?" asked the angel. The Lord nodded. "Yes. 1 pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, 'What are you kids doing in there?' when she already knows. Another here in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she has to know. And, of course, the ones here in front that can look at a child when it goofs up and say, 'I understand and I love you,' without so much as uttering a word." Isn't that cool? Lord, said the angel, touching his sleeve gently, "come to bed tomorrow. "I can't," said the Lord. "I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she's sick, can feed a family of 6 on 1 pound of hamburger, and can get a 9-year-old to stand under a shower. It's a little emotional day for me because my mom's only been in heaven about 20 years, so still a little emotional." The angel circled the model of the mother very slowly. "It's too soft," he sighed, "but tough," said the Lord. "You cannot imagine what this mother can do or endure. Can it think? Not only think, but it can reason and compromise," said the Creator. Finally, the angel bent over and read his ran his finger across the cheek. "There's a leak," he pronounced. "I told you that you were trying to put too much into this model." "It's not a leak," said the Lord. "It's a tear." "What's it for?" "Well, it's for joy and sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness and pride." "Well, you're a genius," said the angel. The Lord looked somber. "I didn't put it there. Aren't our mothers a treasure?" Man, I'm telling you. I think probably one of the godliest mothers I've ever known in my life. And I thought I'd never meet anyone like her until I met my wife. And my wife is as godly a mother as my mother was. So I have been doubly blessed in my life by having two of the greatest women I think that ever lived to be a part of my life. Our text today is out of Proverbs 31, and I'll try to not be a basket case, and I'll try to be professional and spiritual and bless your hearts as much as I can, okay? My wife says, when you get emotional preaching, you need to turn your mic off before you start sniffling because it records it. Oh, well. Proverbs chapter 31. If you would stand in honor of God's word and in honor of mothers, I will read you this scripture and I'll comment on it as I go through just briefly. And then I want to talk about the traits of a true mother. Just two simple points to my message this morning. The traits of a true mother as described for us in Proverbs 31. And then the consequences or the results of those traits being lived out in someone's life. Okay, you ready? I'm starting at verse 10. Who can find verses? Verse 10 gives us, and in case you're... I want to outline some sermon so you can preach later. Verse 10 gives you the value of a mother. Verse 13 and following gives you the vitality of a mother. Verse 16 gives you the vision of a mother. Verse 25 gives you the victory of a mother. And verse 26 gives you the voice of a mother. So if you want to use that outline to preach, you don't have to give me credit. Just go ahead and preach it anywhere you want to. But that's not my outline today, by the way. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Her value is far above anything material on this earth. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now let me stop right there a minute. And I loved and appreciated so much what Ellen said when she was talking up here. I realize today that there are no perfect people in here. And I realize that I as a pastor have failed in many ways, as you mothers have failed. But let me tell you today, God is merciful and forgiving and loving. And even though you failed, you're not a failure, okay? Because God can take you, and we condemn sin so often, and we fail to give the other side the mercy and the love and the forgiveness of God. But I want you to know that even though you may feel like you've failed your kids in some way, and we dads and we pastors may feel like we failed our churches in some way, God forgives, and there's mercy and grace, and He uses us greater, and many times He can use us more after our failures because we recognize our weaknesses and we're more dependent on Him, and He can do more with us then than He could before. So it's good to remember that God is, you say, boy, I don't add up to that woman described there. Well, God forgives us, guys, and gives us another chance. So, now, back to verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She has a vision. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hand to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. And in the Arab culture, and in the Middle Eastern culture, this silk and purple are coverings of love. So she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her covering Her clothing are coverings of love. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. That's her victory. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. That's her voice. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Paul put this on the sign out at the road for us this week. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Father, thank you for this scripture that describes to us, that sets a standard, an ideal that mothers ought to be, which none of us as men, the biblical description of fathers or the biblical description, none of us are able to live up to perfectly, Lord, but you give us a standard that we can strive to reach. And I thank you, God, that we have this standard set forth. And I thank you that in our community here, God, you have exposed us to some wonderful, godly mothers. And I thank you for them, Father. And I thank you for the mothers that are going to be better and better as they get older and older, Father. And I just pray you'd help us today, through this day, to remember and honor and praise and bless those sweet mothers that you've given us, God. And I thank you for the mothers all over the world that are making things happen, that even today are molding little men and little women into giants for you, that you're going to use in a mighty way in the future as you carry your coming. So thank you and praise you. Speak to our hearts today. Bless us and bless our mothers, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. For just a few minutes this morning, I'll only have a few, and it won't. And that's all it'll take will be a few. I want you, there are a lot of words that we can use to describe people, but the best illustration of anything, say, I could try to, nerd's a word that we use to describe people sometimes. You could ask me what a nerd is, and I could try to describe it to you, but wouldn't be able to effectively, but one could walk in the back, and I could show you. I mean, it'd be real obvious, you know. So that's kind of the way of a mother. We can try to describe them, but the best we can do is just do our best to describe them. But when you see a real mother, that's the best illustration that I can think of a mother. And Proverbs 31 gives us that picture. My first cousin, Christine, wrote a poem when I was pastor out at Deep Gap, and she was one of our, her and Wilbur and Paul and Jennifer were members of our church out there. And I put it actually in the bulletin that Sunday, and I don't see the date on the bulletin, but I found it this week. And it says simply, of all the precious things God gives to make this world a better place to live, there's only one above all others. It's a priceless gift that we call mothers. Isn't that a cool little four-liner? I'm telling you what's the truth. And it's so true. So let's look this morning at the traits of a true mother, an excellent wife, and the two go hand in hand. If you're outlining this morning, point number one is the traits of a true mother or an excellent wife, and the two go hand in hand. And according to our text this morning, verse 12 gives us the first one of those traits, and it's loyalty. And she has loyalty to her husband. And by the way, it spills over into the other areas of our life. It says in that verse that she will do him good. And what does that mean, she'll do him good? That means that she'll protect his name. One of the things I was thinking, this week, and one of the things that I never remember ever, all of my life, my mother ever saying one thing bad about my dad. And trust me, my dad needed some bad things said about him before he got saved. He was a scuzz ball. If you don't know what that means, you just need to see my dad before he got saved. But boy, even through those years when he'd go, quote unquote, go camping on the weekend, you know, while we went to church, and we'd walk 3 or 4 miles across the mountain to Mount Carmel Baptist Church, and Saturday evening late my dad would come in, you know, where he'd been camping. I don't know what, and I never did know that it, but I never one time heard my, so he's, this godly mother is loyal. The Bible says that she's loyal to her husband. She'll protect his name. Verse 11 tells that she'll protect his position, his possessions as well, to make him prosperous. And she'll protect his weaknesses. Men, I don't know if you've got moms. Moms know it, but we men won't admit it. But we have very, very fragile egos. And our wives, our godly mothers, will protect our egos and still make us think that we're the grandest thing in the world, when in reality, we're pretty pathetic examples of humanity sometimes. But they protect. She's loyal to her husband. And it says she'll do him good and not evil. Not evil just means the opposite of everything that was good that he spoke of. One of the worst things that a wife can do to a husband is to share his secrets in public. And she says that this loyal wife will not do that. She'll not talk about his weaknesses or his faults in public. So she's loyal to her husband. It says in verse 13 through 16 that she's industrious. She works with her hands. Verse 13, she makes clothes for her family, provides clothes for her family. Verse 15, she provides nourishment for her family. Meaning she has the meals ready and she prepares them. And in the age of microwave moms, isn't it so much easier to have those wonderful meals ready? 1.5 minutes, and wham, there's supper, man, I'm telling you. It's good, but she provides for the nourishment. But she plans for the long range, verse 16, nourishments of her family. So she's industrious and she's loyal. But she's also a realistic person, verses 18 through 21. Verse 18 says that she knows that what she's done is okay. Now, what is that a picture of in your mind? It's a picture of peace. The mom knows that what she's done is okay. She understands and appreciates her merchandise is good. So she's not troubled about what she did. So she's a picture of peace. She's very realistic. And she does it so that she knows it's okay. So she has peace in her heart. And then verse 21 says that she makes provisions for any possible need that she becomes aware of. So if she's at peace because she knows what she does is good, and then she makes provision for any possible need that she becomes aware of, then that means that she's content because she's not anxious about anything that she needs to do or that she left undone. So we have a picture here of a woman that's at peace with herself and that she's content with what she does. Do you guys remember when you were young, your grandmother sitting around, and your mother too for that matter? I can remember my mom sitting around on a Sunday afternoon or a summer afternoon after we had worked all day in the garden or whatever, and her sitting there in the rocking chair with her apron on, a rocking and a sleeping. What a picture of peace and contentment. Can y'all remember that? How many of you can remember your mom, your grandmom doing things like that? A picture of total peace and contentment. Because she's worked, she got up before anybody else did. She had breakfast ready when everybody else got up. She worked and she took care of everybody and everything all day long, all the workers, everybody around and everything. And evening when it was over, she could sit down in a rocking chair and she could close her eyes and she could take her a little rest because she was at peace and she was content and realistic about what was going on. But not only that, and by the way, may I say about that, her taking care of her needs as they come up, when I was a kid, I never, think about this a minute, I never worried, it never crossed my mind that I would go to the table and there wouldn't be any food on the table. Do you ever worry about food when you was a kid? It never crossed my mind that somebody had to pay the power bill and somebody had to do all the other things that make a house go on. It never crossed my mind that when I went to my drawer in my room and pulled out my drawer to get some clean shirt or in the closet that it wouldn't be there. I never worried about clothes. I never worried about food. I never worried about paying bills because I had a godly mom that would see that all that was taken care of. What a blessing that we have. So she was a very realistic person and is. And she was compassionate. Verse 20 tells us that a truly great mother not only cares about her family, but she has compassion for those that are less fortunate than themselves. One of my favorite moms in secular literature is Mama Jode in The Grapes of Wrath, which is, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest political novels that's ever been written. But I love Mama Jode in Grapes of Wrath. If you guys have remembered that story through your college literature or your high school literature, if you've never read Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath, you've missed one of the great literary works, as far as I'm concerned, that there is. And I just love Mama Jode because she's always taking care of it. Didn't matter what they'd done, her boy when he got out of prison and came back, she took care of everybody and everything. And what a picture of a good, godly mother Mama Jode was in that. And oh, how we need mothers like that today. The great benevolent organizations in the world today are powered by women. It's amazing. Many times, the places we go and the things that we see, if it wasn't for the women, they would not exist. Great faith. She had great faith. Verse 25, American Standard Version says that strength and dignity are her clothing. And listen to what it says. And she smiles at the future. She has no fear of tomorrow because she knows her faith is strong. She trusts the Lord and she knows He's going to take care of it. So, there are some of the traits of a godly mother. What are the results? I've just listed four, and let me give them to you briefly. The results of being a true mother. Verse 10 says that she is of great value. That person is very valuable, and may I say, in everyone's opinion. Now, let me ask you this, moms, today. And I want to be an encouragement to all of you today, but let me ask you this. Do people consider your husband and your children lucky to have you? That's a thought, isn't it? She's of great value. And she's a treasure that anyone would like to have. She not only knows how to cook and keep house and take care of clothes and pay bills, but she goes hunting with her husband. She goes fishing with her husband. She goes working with her husband and all the other things. I'm talking about my wife now. So a great wife can do all these things. She is of great value. And not only that, but she's trusted. Look at verse 11. One of the greatest things that a husband can say is that he doesn't have to worry about his wife when he's not with her, because he knows that she's going to cover his back, so to speak. She's trusted to be faithful, verse 11 says. Her husband of her heart trusts in her. So he knows she's going to be faithful to him. You know, she knows, and he knows that he can trust her. She's trusted to be a good steward of the possessions. Says she'll do him good. It has no need of spoil, so she's going to take care of the things that he accumulates. And she's trusted not to be a source of concern for her husband in any way. So the results of being a true mother, moms, is that you'll be of great value, that you'll be trusted by your husband, your children, those that know you. Thirdly, one of the results that we see in verse 23 is that she will be an asset to her husband. One of the things that men are so proud of, and we men are so vain, we're really all little boys in big men's clothes and big men's bodies. But, you know, when we accomplish anything, men, the first person we want to tell, when I'm traveling by myself and I see something that's just phenomenal or beautiful, the first thing that comes out of my mouth, well, I wish Barbara's here. I wish she could see this. The person that we want to show or that we want to tell, if I do anything, any accomplishment, the person that I want to know about it first, instinctively, is my wife. And isn't that great, men, just to know that you've got someone that you can go to? She's an asset to her husband. And he's proud of her, and he's seen in the gate. And nothing damages a man's reputation any worse than an unfaithful wife. So verse 23 says she's an asset to her husband. None of your actions can cause your husband shame. I remember my pastor, Ted Braswell, when Barbara and I were first married, 51 years ago almost, when we were first married, our pastor was Reverend Ted Braswell. One of the statements that he made that I still remember so often, he's talking about his wife, Miss Brazel, was a godly, humble little lady. Precious, precious woman. Dr. Ted Braswell was their son. Some of you may know him. And he made this statement. He said, listen to this. He said, I have never had to apologize for anything she did. Is that not a cool statement? I've never had to apologize or make excuse for anything she ever did. So she's an asset to her husband. And then finally, this last verse in our scripture tells us that she's the pride of her children. Listen to this little poem here. There's a sweet, angelic look in every mother's eye that makes us stop and wonder if they're angels in disguise. For they're always standing by when someone needs a friend. No one has as much compassion, none are quicker to defend. There's a little bit of God in every mother's heart. He molded them of a finer clay than set them well apart. I agree with that 100%. They are an earthly blessing that heaven itself supplies, and so we can't help believing that they are truly angels in disguise. Let me read you the profile of a mother. as I close this morning. A mother appears, now this is by Rex R. Burns. A mother appears to be a normal human being. She has all the features that all other people have. She has two eyes, two hands, two arms, two feet, all connected to one body. But now that is what you see if you just look at the exterior of a mother. If you were ever a child, you will know that she has at least three sets of eyes, and it talks about what Irma Bombeck said, and I think it's built on that, but it does it in a different way. Two in front, two in the back, so that she can see all the things that she needs to see that are hidden from her. And one on each side of her head so she can protect the cookie jar no matter where it's placed. And by the way, the apple pies that moms used to cook and set in the wind of the cool, and we would sneak around when they weren't looking and steal them and eat the whole blessed pie. They're capable of seeing through wood and plaster. I'm talking about myself then. That's not on this. But they're all capable of seeing through wood and plaster. There's nothing better than a stolen apple pie, is there? They're all capable of seeing through wood and plaster so they can tell what's going on behind closed doors. They have bionic ears. She can hear a dirty word whispered a block away. Isn't it the truth? She can hear a complaint that's only a thought when unpleasant tasks are assigned to children. What do you mean by that look on your face? With her many arms and hands, she can prepare a meal, find Dad's shirt, change a diaper, run the vacuum, spank two kids all at the same time. With strong, fast legs, she can move about the house like a speeding bullet. She patrols the streets, stops a fight in the backyard, catches a tennis ball before it's flushed down the toilet, prevents a child from falling out of a tree, and moves all the toys out of the driveway before Dad comes home, all at the same time. Her endless supply of energy can only be a God-given attribute. She's first to rise in the morning, has breakfast ready for the brood as they get up, gets each child ready for school, is both a barber and a beautician, a fashion consultant, chairman of the board, budget director, purchasing agent, paramedic, mechanic, veterinarian, entrepreneur, travel agent, interior decorator, and is the last to bed at night. With a tender kiss, she can heal everyone from everything from a cut finger to a broken heart. With her kiss, she can convince a balding 50-year-old man that he's still just as handsome as he ever was. Her ability to love is exceeded only by God's love itself. Her love grows with her children, and it's impossible to tell the success or failure of her children by her love. Wow. There are no depths to which a child can fall that will diminish her love, and no heights of success a child can achieve that will increase it. Her love is protective, tender, unchanging, unselfish, giving, contagious, comfortable, everlasting. The nearest thing that we can see in this world to God's love is a mother's love. When I pastored, and I want to close with this, when I pastored my first church in Little Switzerland in 1980, I had to do a funeral for Miss Esther McKinney. And in going through her Bible, I found a letter that she had written to her children. It was a short note, actually. And I found it. It wasn't found until many years later. And it's sort of like a message from the grave asking her children to meet her in heaven. I want you to listen to this. Moms, the reason I want you to listen to this letter, just the way Miss Esther wrote it, I want you to think about your mother today. If she's still living. This is written May the 11th, 1961. Of course, she died she died later than that. Because I had her Bible after she had died, and I found that. Today is my birthday. Now listen, children. The 11th day of May. I am 81 years old today. I hope I'll live to see another birthday, but I don't know. I'm aiming to get to a better place when I leave this world. I have saw a pretty hard time here. I love all my children, and I pray to meet them in heaven, where there will be no more deaths. I want to see my dear mother and the one dear boy that has gone on. This is the 11th day of May, 1961. It's pretty important, everybody. listen to this. It's a bad day, and I'm here alone. I'd better close, but I want y'all to meet me in heaven. It wasn't until 1980, I said it at the funeral, but it wasn't until 1981 that I found this letter in her Bible. Her children didn't even know about it. Why did you read that, preacher? To inspire you. If you hadn't gotten a hold of your mom today, and she's still living, that you get a hold of her. If there's someone that's been like a mother to you, like Ellen said earlier, let them know it. And let them know just how much you love them. Because they may not say anything. And you'll ask the mom, how you doing? She always says, well, I'm okay. I'm good. What do you need, mom? Oh, I don't need nothing. I'm okay. But they're not. They need to know that we love them. They need to know that we care about them. So let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for my mom. And I thank you for all of our mothers. And the mothers in this church, some of these final women I've ever met in my life. And I just thank you for them. I just praise your holy name today. And I know, Lord Jesus, that it's the love of Jesus that shines through them. If it wasn't for the love of Jesus being manifested in their hearts, they wouldn't be the people that we are. So if there's a mother here today, or a dad for that matter, or a child that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Father, I pray today that they might realize that even though they may have failed as a mother, they may have failed as a Christian, I pray that today they would realize that there's mercy and forgiveness at the cross. And just by asking Jesus to forgive them of those sins and shortcomings, that they can be as if they had never made a mistake. And God, that you can reclaim the years that the locusts have eaten, and that you can make the relationship to their children and their friends and their husband rich as it ought to be. And you can make those mistakes go away. And even the consequences of those mistakes can be softened because of your intervention when they yield their lives to you. So my greatest heart's desire today is that if there's one here that's not right with you, that today before they leave, even at this moment right now, that they would surrender their life to you. Ask you for your forgiveness. And make a determination that from this point forward, they're going to be the men and women that you would have them to be. Moms, dads, and children. Father, may this day be a turning point in someone's life here. Would you stand with me, please? Amen. And as you mothers leave today, do they get a rose? Are these roses for our moms? Okay. And as you moms leave today, come by and get you a rose, please. Up here, or are we going to put them in the back? Let's put them in the back. And you can get them as you leave. But before you leave, I want you, if your mother's here today, I want you to go to her and I want you to tell her how much you love her and how much you appreciate her. And if your mother's not here and there's someone that's meant the world to you, and I know I've been kind of slobbery and emotional this morning, so forgive me for not being too evangelical this morning. But I want you to go to that person, that lady, and just let them know how much you love them, how much you appreciate them. I've got some calls I'm going to be making this afternoon to some dear, dear folks. Remember, it's no small group tonight, so you've got the afternoon to spend time with your mom. But before we leave today, and I'm going to ask someone to pray a short benediction so I can have a chance to get to the back before y'all get in the aisle. But I want you to go to those ladies and just let them know how much you appreciate them and love them, okay? Because there's some special ladies in here that are not your mom, but I know you need to love on them a little bit. So I want you to do that. Junior Woodring, close us in a word of prayer if you would, please.